I would like to say thank you yesterday for the fun time we had in the pancake breakfast. Coach Dula ate his share, and we acknowledge that. We had a good time, and I hope that the next time that we have something like this, that we will utilize it as a time to invite others to come to be a part of a wonderful time of fellowship here at Main Street. And we did have a great time. And if you were in our 8:45 service, I understand that some of you come to both services. We had a great rocking time with our kids. They were beating the drums and playing the musical instruments. Some of you could have turned off your hearing aid. Others could have put plugs in their ears. Others would have been clapping and said, rock on, rock on. So we had a great time, and I know more is planned for our young people, and so I invite other youth that may be listening to this by radio to know that we have an exciting time here at Main Street, and we extend to you an opportunity to come and be a part of us here. So I read this passage of Scripture. I like the passage that I read last week a little better. When Jesus said that he came to share peace and that he would take care of the little flock and not to be scared. I thought about those things sometimes that we hear that we don't want to hear. The story was written in Reader's Digest, and it said something like this. Said, if you want to call and give us a compliment, you can dial, and I'll just use the church number, 864-229-7551. Punch 5 and leave your comment. But if you're calling to leave a complaint, would you please dial 864-229-995-4321-79821-2. Thank you. Have a nice day. Sometimes we don't want to hear when things are not what makes us comfortable. I remember several years ago, I was invited by my MYFers to meet with them after church one Sunday, and we were going down to this pile of sand. This sand was the result of a company that was selling sand, and they were digging down into the ground, and they had dug so far that they had actually dug through the period of time that human beings were living here, and they were down into the prehistoric times. And we could go down in there and find all types of different types of dinosaur fossils and petrified wood. And it was amazing as we fought the mosquitoes and the gnats that afternoon and dug through the sand and saw these different things and realized that at the time and period that we were in. And one of the things that was found in this pile of sand was a pterodactyl bone. Now that's that big old bird that could eat you. And I used to walk out of the church sometime on Sunday, and I said, now I'm going to make sure there's not a pterodactyl fly. Because I said, it's one thing for me to be reading the menu of what I want to eat. It's another thing for somebody else to be reading the menu and I'm what they're thinking about eating. And I used to think, how far would we have progressed, human beings, if the pterodactyls were still here? I don't think we would be just walking out this afternoon saying, well, where can I meet you? I think we'd be running for our lives. But the pterodactyls were not able to change. The dinosaurs were not able to change. And so all we have today that speaks of their existence are bones, fragments left behind. So I realized that change is important. Change is a part of the cycle of life. As I read this passage of Scripture, and Jesus was talking about fire, and I thought about the different ways that fire has impacted us in our civilization. When I was out deer hunting one day, a gentleman was walking down the road, and he had stopped deer hunting, and he was looking for fossils. And in the midst of these fossils that we found some pottery that was used years ago. And then this pottery were these ridges that made it so that whoever made it could hold it, and they could hold it wouldn't slip out of their hand. But in order to have these ridges on the exterior, they would take this clay and they would pack it into these vines, and then they would sit it down in the fire. And the fire, in the midst of burning off the vines, would harden the clay and make it so they would have a utensil to use for whatever it was that they were going to be using this particular item for. And so somewhere along the way, somebody discovered that fire was good. It was good for making pottery. It was by accident that it was discovered that fire is good to make rubber plowable. And when we think about how fire has impacted our very life, I remember my dad showing me some scars on his leg where he was out one day near the wash pot. And the fire that was being used to heat the water to wash the clothes caught his little gown on fire as a child. And I remember him saying those words, "Mama, Mama, that mean old fire is hurting me." And he carried those scars from that fire for the rest of his life. Fire is useful. Fire is a very integral part of the creation of our civilization. Fire can be damaging, and we remember reading the stories about the fires in Charleston and the fires in Columbia. But it was only recently that we were made aware of just how fire can impact our society. When at Myrtle Beach, they discovered that the houses were built so close and the pine trees and all this, that a fire could start and they actually couldn't, in our modern day, put it out. And if you've watched the news, it's been a whole series of finger pointing. Whose fault was it that these houses were allowed to burn? Fire is powerful. And Jesus speaks to us about fire, and we remember on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that bore witness to what was transpiring were tongues of fire. In a Cornerstone Sunday school class this morning, we were talking about Moses, and somebody said, if God would just speak to us like he spoke to Moses through a burning bush, then we would know what God wants us to do. But it was there through a bush on fire that God spoke. And you remember later on, as Moses went to the mountain, and they said it was billowing smoke and fire. Fire produces change. And change is what God calls us to be a part of sometimes. This past week, I received an email. The email made me aware that sometimes things come into our world. It creates change and creates pain. This past year, we have lost more missionaries than I have ever been aware of. We lost a couple in Haiti when the earthquake struck. And if you read about the murders that took place in Afghanistan, one of those was Daniel Terry. was a United Methodist missionary. He was there. His family was there. He was raising his two children there. As I read this article, it spoke about Daniel. It said he was a person that went into the communities and people trusted him. He had been there for a long time. He was teaching. He was instructing them in regard to eye care, and he was providing eye care for some of the very remote regions of Afghanistan. People trusted him. He had earned their respect. This was one individual that, had he not died, you and I probably would never heard of him. And yet, because of his death, we can say, because of our apportioned givings, because we're willing to share, there are things taking place that we don't even know about. And yet we trust. We trust that God's kingdom is growing somewhere else other than just some place that we have control of, that we give of ourselves and give of our time and of our talents, so that God can do some things in Afghanistan. And you remember, he was there as a missionary, and they killed him because they said he was telling the story of Jesus Christ. We think about telling the story of Jesus as being one of peace and of tranquility, of the lion and the lamb lying down together in the peaceful valley where God is going to lead us. And yet Jesus says, sometimes when people follow me, it appears to be fire, that there comes a separation. Coach Shula mentioned that he went to a ball game, and if I can find my notes here this morning, it speaks to us that in 1993, in all of pro basketball, baseball, and football, that there were 103 million spectators in all of the pro sports. Listen to this now. There were 5.6 billion people attending church. 2% of the numbers that I have given you were people involved in pro sports, pro football, pro basketball in 1993. And yet, when we stop and think about how that 2% has impacted communities, created franchises, paid multi-million dollars in salaries to star players, think about how excited they are. When's the last time somebody told you to go to a ball game, but sit down and don't get excited because you disrupt the players? $5.6 billion people in church. And what impact have we made? And are we making? And are we excited about the team that we're on? We look around and realize that we're involved in the greatest number. And yet it seems like sometimes that we are so quiet, When we think about the disciples and you think about Jesus, Jesus died for what he proclaimed. The disciples, of the histories that we know of them, and the one born out of season, Paul, died for what they proclaimed. Pliny, who was the governor of Rome, said one time, "I have never met anyone that's more obstinate, rebellious, non-communicative. I killed a few of them just because." Speaking of the Christians, sometimes what we go through as Christians seems like fire. I liked the sermon a lot more last week when it talked about "Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." But this one this week calls me to a sober recollection that we are called to a burning ingredient in our world. What would it mean today if people were to refer to Main Street United Methodist Church as a church where the people are on fire for the kingdom of God?